Good morning. The scripture for today is Ephesians 4, 1 through 16. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the one, the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for the work of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead of speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. This is a reading of God's word.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I really love watching the Summer Olympics. I was super sad when the games had to be postponed last year due to the pandemic. It feels extra special that they're even able to happen at all right now with everything going on in the world. My favorite sport to watch is women's gymnastics. I couldn't wait to watch my girl, Simone Biles, arguably the greatest female gymnast of all time, add more gold medals to Team USA. Biles had a little bit of a rocky start in qualifiers. Usually confident and steady, she looked kind of scared and unsure of herself. But I figured, oh, it's probably just nerves. After all, the entire world is watching her perform. There's a lot of pressure on her to do well, especially after the year we've all had. I woke up on Tuesday morning with this breaking news text on my phone that Biles had withdrawn from team competition after her warm-up. I woke up the next day, Wednesday morning, to a text that she had withdrawn from individual competition as well. What makes the greatest female gymnast of all time withdraw from the Olympics? Biles had come down with a case of the twisties. In gymnastics, the twisties are when all of a sudden you can't do a twist that you've done thousands of times before in practice. Your brain loses track of where your body is in the air, and you only realize where the ground is when you smack into it. The twisties are really dangerous in gymnastics. All it takes is one bad landing to leave a gymnast paralyzed for the rest of her life. Now, when news broke here in the States that Biles had withdrawn from competition, the internet lost its mind. Many people came out in support of her decision, prioritizing her health over this competition. But there were many people who were just mean to her. What do you mean she isn't ready to compete? It's the Olympics. Get it together. You're supposed to be the greatest gymnast of all time, and you can't handle the pressure. As I sat with Biles' decision to withdraw from the Olympics, I realized that this is actually a really great example of what discernment looks like in our normal, kind of everyday lives. Discernment is how we figure out what kind of life is a fitting response to all that God has done for us in Jesus. And in our scripture reading for this morning, the writer focuses on two types of discernment: calling and what he calls grown-up faith. Calling is what we do with our lives in response to what God has done for us in Jesus. I like to think of calling as twofold. It's where our greatest joy, or the things that we really like to do, meet the world's greatest need, or provides something that the world needs right now. Calling is twofold because calling is both what we do, but it's also who we are. As Presbyterians, we also think of calling in twofold language. So we think about it in terms of our relationship with God, but we also think about it in terms of our relationship with our neighbors and our community. All this is to say is that we believe what we do with our lives really matters because it bears witness to who we believe God to be. Because God is active in creation, we know that God uses people to make sure that creation is fed and comforted and educated, for example. As I've grown up, I've realized that some of us have more visible callings than others. Some of us will be called to do things like preach or teach or nurse or even be Olympic gymnasts. I call these visible callings because it's a little bit easier to explain how our gifts and talents translate into direct service in our communities. Other people have maybe a little bit less visible callings. These are the folks who are called to be pinch-hitting babysitters, or volunteer Cub Scout leaders, or the person on the other end of the phone helping seniors register for online vaccine appointments. What I love about the letter to the church in Ephesus is that it reminds us that all callings are necessary to sustain the body of Christ, but some callings are a little bit more visible than others. Grown-up faith is what we need to live into our callings. I think grown-up faith is the maturity to act beyond gratifying our own immediate needs. As children, we act based on what's popular or fun or what feels right in the moment. Adults act with discernment. They're able to put other people's needs above their own. They're able to do hard things for the good of their families and communities. Grown-up faith is when we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, and blown here and there by every wind of teaching, and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of Him who is the head, that is, Christ. The more that I thought about it, the more that I realized that Biles withdrawing from the Olympics is an example of grown-up faith. I am absolutely certain that she really wanted to compete in the Olympics this year. Discernment is saying, I really, really want to compete, but mentally I'm struggling and I'm having trouble focusing, so I'm going to withdraw, because at the end of the day, this is just the Olympics. It's better for me to withdraw now than to be wheeled out of here in a stretcher. Plus, so many young girls are looking to me as their role model, and I want them to learn that it's okay to step away from something if you don't feel good. Friends, our scripture reading for this morning invites us to consider what God is calling us to and what discernment we need to do to live a life worthy of that calling. Now, not all of us are going to be called to be Olympic gymnasts, where every news outlet in the world is going to have an opinion about our discernment. But all of us are called to figure out what kind of life God is calling us to. So let's say, for example, you feel that God is calling you to take the lead on caring for our church building. The problem is you're not really sure what all is involved in caring for our building. So maybe you start by taking a walk every day so that you feel a little bit better about tackling the physical challenges that come with caring for an aging building. Maybe you ask around to your friends or people that you work with and see if any of them are caring for an older building. Maybe they're restoring an old house. Maybe they're kind of going through something similar to what you're going through. And maybe you ask them, hey, when you were beginning to do this, what worked for you? And what kind of catastrophes did you discover along the way that I might avoid? Finally, maybe you sit down with a pen and paper and you make a list of all of the projects that you foresee needing to happen in this building you're caring for. And maybe you start to kind of prioritize the list, like what immediately needs to be attended to, what would you like to get to, and then kind of what are your hopes and dreams if you could get these things done. Friends, the temptation in church circles is to idolize calling while at the same time downplaying the continual discernment that must happen if we are to live into our callings. Just because you feel called to be an elder, for example, does not mean that from time to time you won't need to reevaluate what it means for you to serve the church in this time and in this place. Sometimes your discernment will lead you to places and spaces that you never imagined you would go. And sometimes discernment will ask you to be faithful to work you've been doing for years, like chairing the Buildings and Grounds Committee in our church. But friends, wherever our discernment leads us, we know that it is God who does the calling. We know that God has a plan and God has a purpose for our lives. And we will spend our lives looking and listening for how we can get in on God's plan. Sometimes that plan will ask us to withdraw from the Olympic Games at the height of our career. Sometimes that plan will mean serving on a different committee, depending on what the church's needs are in that moment. But friends, we know we can do these things because God calls us, because Jesus goes out ahead of us, preparing the way, and because the Spirit walks alongside us always. Thanks be to God. In Jesus' name, amen.